I think it was Pastor Agnes. Where is Pastor Agnes? Agnes. I asked her before the food came. She said, "Well, there's going to be a little over 100 people." And I thought, "Oh, I could not eat my supper. I was just, you know." I thought we were going to have a little conversation, people that I could talk to, you know, and I still want some conversation. So I'm glad I see Bill here, and I see Wayne, I got your name right, and I see Jesse and Annie and Yongxin. Can I talk to you in English?
I'm fine.
Okay. And Wuxing and... Celine, yeah, okay, you know, so I had hoped we could have sort of conversation and but talk back and forth. So I hope you will talk to me, and especially I wanted, where is Ling Mian? Where is Pastor Ling Mian? Okay, good, yeah, because you have taken this class in Mandarin, and you have too, haven't you? And so there's somebody else said she took the class at Feng Shou Sun Xuan, who said, oh yeah, okay, yeah, good, okay, so. I hope that as you can help me, okay? I hope you can help me a little as we you know, and I and then before, the other thing is they said it would be for the young people. You know, some of you don't look very young. and she said this will be for the young people, and so I said, well, another reason I'm a little uneasy about this class is this is theology, and that's kind of deep and kind of heavy and kind of boring and kind of, you know, and I thought young people, and so when they said it's mostly young people, I said, I proposed that we change a topic. I said, I have some other things that are more lively and more interesting for young people and more stuff. And I thought that was really a good idea. And so I sent the email back, and then the pastoral staff had a discussion about this, and then no, we want evangelical theology. And I thought, oh man. I pray for me, pray for yourself. I said, I hope I don't put you to sleep during these three days, because this is kind of heavy stuff, theology, and you know. And I taught this class in seminary. It was a longer class. It was actually it covered a whole year, three terms. But that's kind of a kaichangbai. Okay, now let me say, when you hear the words evangelical theology, I want some of the young people. Okay. Oh boy, I'm putting you on the. Okay, and Robin. Okay, okay, okay. When you hear the word theology, when you hear the words evangelical theology, what comes to your mind? What do you think of? Evangelical theology. First theology. When you hear the word theology, what do you think of? You think, oh, this is going to be deep and heavy and difficult and boring. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard work. You think that, right? Okay. So let's talk about what is theology? What is theology? I used to, when I was teaching at China Evangelical Seminary, I the very first class of the first semester in the fall, I said, what is theology? I came to seminary to study theology, and boy, it's just wonderful. I can take 3 years out of my life and just spend all my time just learning theology. I learn a great body of knowledge and scholarship and I can learn, you know, what did Saint Augustine say? What did Thomas Aquinas say? What did Luther say? What did Calvin say? What did the great theologians say? I could learn. I could just memorize all this information and a great body of information and knowledge and scholarship, and just I can just learn it and memorize, bay, and then put it inside, and what do you say? Pour it in, pack it inside. Zhuang jinqi, zhuang bei, you know, and then I can take 3 years out of my life to study theology and just get filled with all this knowledge, and then I can go into the church and I can share it with all these people, you know, and put them to sleep. And, you know, I will share it with all these people. And I said, if that's, and I remember one time a student said, what's wrong with that? You know, and I said, you know what's wrong with it? If that's your attitude, if that's what you think theology is, and you're going to just fill yourself with knowledge and scholarship and all this information for 3 years, you go out into the church as a pastor, within 6 months, you'll have used it all up. And then what are you going to do with the rest of your life? You know, then you come back and take a D-min degree. Come back for your doctor's degree. You know, it's very uneconomical, isn't it? So I said, if that's your idea of what theology is, then I'm going to disappoint you. Theology is not a huge body of scholarship and knowledge, okay? Theology is a tool. Is a tool to help you understand the Word of God, the Bible. And what you're going to use this tool. You know, Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. Remember in John chapter 21, feed my sheep. Jesus said, feed, give them food, give them something, ling liang. Yeah, you should know, tree of life, ling liang tang. Okay, give them food to nourish them, to make them grow, to be healthy. Okay, you're supposed to feed my sheep. So I said, if I go out to your church after you graduate from China Evangelical Seminary and I go to your church on a Sunday morning and you preach and I hear you start to teach theology, I'm going to be very, very angry. Your job is not to teach theology. Your job is to use theology to prepare very good food full of vitamins and nourishment and good flavor and food to give to the people of God, to you. You know, if I hear you start to teach theology, teaching theology is my job. You know, and if I hear you start to teach theology, I'm thinking, what are you trying to do? You're trying to take away my job? Your job is to use what I teach you to prepare food for your people. Okay, if Chinese New Year is next month, what are you, 十几号? 十六号, okay. What Chinese New Year, if you have somebody invites you to a big dinner at Chinese New Year's time, and you go there and you're sitting in the living room, and then the woman of the house comes out, and she said, "Come, everything's ready. Come and eat." And you go to the table, and on the table you find a gas burner, and a wok, and a spatula. You know, if you see all these tools on the table, you're going to be quite disappointed, aren't you? The tools are to be used in the kitchen. So theology is something you use in the kitchen to prepare good food for your people, and then you don't come out and ask people to eat a gas burner or a wok, do you? No, so theology is a tool. That's all it is, just a tool. It's a tool. What we want to give people is the Word of God. And theology is simply a tool for preparing the food that is in this book, so that if you use these tools of theology, this is what I tell my students at seminary, if you use the tools that I hope I'm gonna give you, use them well, you can prepare good food for a whole lifetime, and you'll never run out of good food to give your people. If you use that, so theology is, it's no big deal. It's just some tools that you use, okay? It's not a body of scholarship and knowledge and everything else, okay? No, so that's what theology is. Now, what do you think of when you hear the word evangelical, okay? When you hear the word evangelical, what do you think of? Evangelism. You know, a lot of people think that evangelical theology is a theology of evangelism and giving people good tools for how to be an evangelist. And that's partly true, but, okay, evangelical theology, this class is the historical foundations of evangelical theology. So this class goes back to Martin Luther. He was the first evangelical theologian, okay? And in Luther's concept, it wasn't that this theology is to help people become a good evangelist. Okay, it was not to help people become a good evangelist. What does the word evangelical mean? Anybody know what the word evangelical means? There's Justin and Rebecca. I heard you were coming. Okay, now, you probably have some thoughts about this. Okay, what evangelical comes from a Greek word? Evangelium, okay? What does it mean in Greek? Come on. I'm sorry, I don't want to put you on the spot. Okay. The word in Greek, it's very interesting. The word means something like good news. And you've heard that, haven't you? The gospel is good news. It means good news. So this is a theology of the gospel. But oftentimes we think of gospel in terms of evangelism, the good news. And sometimes I've gone to churches, and they invite me to speak, and I say, what do you want me to talk about? And the people say, oh, well, this meeting is not Fuin Xingde. It's not evangelical. It's not evangelism. It's not evangelism. It's not, Bu Dao Hui. I don't know how to say that in English. Okay, it's not Bu Dao Hui. But I think if this meeting is not evangelical, then I don't have anything to say. Okay, because everything that we say and teach and believe and preach is all about the gospel. The gospel is not just for unbelievers. Okay, there. Okay, now, the gospel is not only for unbelievers, it's also for believers. Every time you open the Bible. Okay, so now it's not just about sharing the gospel. Okay, so the gospel. Well, okay, but let's go back to what is the gospel? And I used to say, yeah, I remember at China Evangelical Seminary in the first class, I would say, what is the gospel? And the answer that already, the first answer that always came up was good news. And so I said, well, yeah, but what good news, huh? Yeah, Lingmen has heard this story before. What good news? There's many kinds of good news, you know. Every year, about November, I would go home one day and I would tell my wife, good news! The Songqing Caoji Shichang, the supermarket on Taishunjie, the supermarket has Du Laoye Bingqiling, Mai Yi Songyi. You know, buy one, get one free. Good news! Because in November, December, Chinese people don't eat ice cream. Nobody eats ice cream. So there's always a big sale. You buy one, get one free of ice cream starting in November. And we really like Du Laoye Bingqiling because that's much better than Foremost, better ice cream. And so good news. But is that the gospel? Is that kind of, that's not the gospel, is it? Okay, those are many different kinds of good news. So the gospel is one specific good news, right? Yeah, okay. What is the good news that the gospel says, tells us? What is the good news? What do you think? Yeah, you're thinking something. What's your name?
Ray,
okay? I can tell by the expression on your face. You're thinking something, yeah. No, I don't want to embarrass you, okay? But you're thinking, what is the specific good news of the gospel?
God let his son down to the earth. Jesus.
Okay, God sent his son to the earth. He died on the cross.
And now after 3 day resurrection.
Okay, he died and he rose again from the dead.
Yeah.
That's the good news.
And exchange our sin.
Okay. I'm sorry, Ray. I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm putting you on the spot. He exchanged our sin. For his righteousness. Okay, now, because I wanted you to get the righteousness, because in systematic theology, the gospel is called justification by faith. And that, somebody said that. Okay, and that, of course, goes back to Martin Luther, because in the 16th century, there was no justification by faith. It was justification by works. The kingdom of heaven was like a heavenly bank, and you had your debts, and you had to pay them all off with good works, and if your bank balanced out right, then you could be saved, and that was. Okay, and so Luther, then that was where this all started 500 years ago. Did you know that was 500 years ago last year in November? That's when it started. That was the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Okay, so that's how it started with Luther, because he thought this guy, this Cardinal Eck came to Wittenberg, and he was selling all these indulgences, and so much money, and your grandmother can get out of purgatory, and your great-grandfather could get out of hell, and all this, and if you pay so much money. And Luther thought, there's something not right about this. And this doesn't ring true. You know, the Cardinal Eck, he had a kind of a song that he sang. As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs, and you put the money in the pot, and the soul of your great grandmother comes out of purgatory. And that was his song. Luther thought that's not right, and that's how it all started. There's things that's really just not right. He went back to his room and he started writing, and he wrote down 95 things that were not right about that, and that was the beginning of the Reformation. Okay, so in systematic theology, the gospel is called justification by faith. Now, I don't like that formula myself, because that sounds like there's two points to the gospel: faith, believe, and justification. Justification means being called righteous. Being called righteous. Your sins are forgiven, so you are righteous. Faith and righteousness. Yeah. I don't like that, because that's not really the way that Paul wrote that in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, because we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. You know, but I think, you know, if I run into Brother Paul in heaven someday, I'm going to tell him, you know, you were very busy when you wrote Romans, and you kind of left out some things. Do you have any regrets about that? You justification by faith, it's not really that simple. And if you look at Romans 1 and Romans 3, you discover it's not just two points. The gospel is not just two points. It's not just faith and righteousness, faith and justification. Okay, let's talk about that. It's not just, God does not forgive your sins. He does not call you righteous. He does not love you because you believe. Oh, that's another. Oh, okay. That's another thing about the Chinese Bible. Sorry. There are some places the Chinese Bible is translated very well, but there's other places it's not a good translation. And one is in sin. Because it's not because of faith that God justifies you. It's not because of faith. Why does he want to justify you? Why does he love you? Why does he accept you? Why does he want to save you? Because you believe? That's kind of, because you believe. One time I was trying to explain this to a non-Christian, and he said, oh, I don't know how to say this in English. Your God is 怎么那么小气? If you believe in me, I'll save you. If you don't believe in me, I don't want you. And that's kind of that. And I agree. That's kind of 小气. How do you say that in English?
Stingy.
Huh? Stingy. Well, no, not just it's not just stingy. It means just kind of really
narrow-minded.
Yeah, sort of mean and sort of. And there's no word for that in English, but okay, now, okay, what?
Narrow-minded,
or I don't know. It's kind of just.
I don't know Chinese, so I'm just.
Yeah, no. It just sort of. Miserly. I don't know. Anyhow. But you know, it's not because you believe that he wants to save you. It's not because you believe that he loves you. It's not because you believe. That's just kind of like doing business with God, you know. Just it's all my, you know. I remember one time I asked the students at seminary, why does God want to save you? Why does he love you? And because he created us, because we belong to him, and you know, but why does that make him want to love you? Why does that make him want to save you? After they gave many, many different answers, finally it just got very quiet. Very quiet. And then somebody in the very back of the room, he just said, 因为他高兴. That's just because he wanted to do it, you know. That it pleased him. Okay, and so that is, why does God forgive your sins? Why does God save you? Why does God love you? Why does God want you? There's no answer. There's no reason. No answer is the best answer. No answer is the best answer, and there's a theological term for that. Why does he want to save you? Why does he love you? The theological term for that is grace. You don't deserve it. There's nothing that makes you worthy of his love. He just decided to do that. So, if you're going to say justification by what? It's not by faith, it's by grace. It's just freely, he decided I want to do that. I like to do that. That's grace. Not because you deserve it. So the gospel, it doesn't just have two points. It's not justification by faith, it's justification by grace. Through faith. Faith is just kind of the way you receive it. So then the gospel has three points. Is three points enough? No. What's the fourth point? Okay, Ling Min, she's heard this. She's taken this class. The fourth point, the justification by grace through faith. What's the fourth point that is absolutely necessary? Jesus. If there's no Jesus, there's no gospel. It has to be faith in Jesus. It's not faith in Buddha. It's not faith in Muhammad. It's not faith in Hare Krishna or the Hindu. You know, it's faith in Jesus. And if there's no Jesus... So this is the gospel. This is the evangelium. Okay, this is the gospel. And these four points of the gospel, you can use these four points as a kind of a... What's the word? Well, something that you can use these to test just about any modern theology. There's a lot of terrible theology going around in the 21st century. Horrible theology. But if you use these four points, you can usually see very very quickly what the problem is. Most of the gospels that we hear going around now, there may be a 3/4 gospel, okay, and that goes way back to the 16th century. The Roman Catholic Church of the 16th century, that was a 3/4 gospel. Did they have Jesus? Yeah, they had Jesus. Did they have faith? Yeah, you had to believe in Jesus. You had to have faith. If you didn't believe in Jesus, then God wouldn't even consider saving you, okay? Yeah, they had faith. They had Jesus. Did they have justification, forgiveness of sins? Yeah, they had forgiveness of sins with certain requirements. What did they have grace? No, there was no grace. It was works. So the 16th century Catholic Church had a 3/4 gospel, 75%. A 3/4 gospel is a zero gospel. There's no gospel if it's just 3/4. You can use that to judge. Well, now there is another kind of gospel called... the gospel of universalism. Have you heard of universalism? Everybody's going to be saved. Everybody's going to be saved because the grace of Jesus, the love of Jesus on the cross, and he shed his blood, he died for the sins of the world, and so everybody's going to be saved. It doesn't matter whether you believe or not. That's another 3/4 gospel. Did they have grace? Did they have Jesus? Did they have forgiveness of sins? What did they not have? Faith. You don't have to believe in Jesus. Everybody's going to be saved. That's a 3/4 gospel. You can use these four points of the gospel to judge the theology of pluralism. Very popular in America now, the theology of pluralism. 多元化, the fuin. That is, that is, you believe in Jesus and I believe in Buddha and he believes in Muhammad and he believes in Krishna, and you know, doesn't matter who you believe in, God is merciful, God is gracious, God will forgive your sins as long as you believe sincerely. Again, okay, okay. Now that's another three-fourths gospel. Does that have grace? Lots of grace there. Does it have faith? Yeah, you have to believe. Does it have forgiveness of sins? But what doesn't it have? Jesus. You see, so it's very interesting. If you understand that the gospel of the New Testament always has these four points, and you read Romans, that's why I don't like justification by faith in Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 1, because we are justified by faith. I don't like that because that's kind of an abbreviation. But you look at Romans 3, it's very clear. All four points of the gospel are there. Any one of those, if it's missing, that's not the gospel. That's another gospel. And you know what Paul said in the book of Galatians about another gospel. If anybody preaches a different gospel, Paul got quite upset about that. He got quite angry about that. Yeah, there is no other gospel. So, okay, so the gospel has four points. Now, theology is a tool. The gospel has four points. Okay? What is the theology of the gospel? Okay, now, what is evangelical theology? Okay, let's go back to, you know, gospel theology is not a theology that has the gospel. There's many different kinds of theologies that all have the gospel. It's a 100% four-fourths gospel. There's lots of theologies that have that gospel. But that doesn't make them evangelical theology. Okay. Okay. Because that doesn't make evangelical theology. Okay. A lot of theologians, especially by around the 19th century, a lot of the people who were writing theology in Europe and America were saying that Luther's theology, there's no system to it. It's not systematic theology. And actually, Luther said that too. Can I sit down? Can you see me if I sit down? I had surgery on my spine last year, and I just have to sit down. Okay, is that okay? There's many people that said Luther's theology, there's no system to Luther's theology. And Luther said that himself. Luther was not a systematic theologian. Luther was more of a, I don't know, how do you say this in English? He was more of a Jew, or century. He was going around putting out fires all the time. He was putting out fires, and so he never sat down and wrote a systematic theology. He was first it was the Pope, and then it was Erasmus, and then it was the Anabaptists. Okay, your English pastor is a Baptist. I won't say Anabaptist. He's a Baptist. there were the super charismatics. There were the super spiritual. You know, there were so many, and he was always trying to put out fires. He never got around to writing a systematic theology. And you know, he would just, you know, Erasmus wrote a book about the freedom of the will. And Luther read this book, this book of the freedom of the will, and he went back home and he wrote a book called The Bondage of the Will. Every time somebody was saying something, he had to write something else. And that's the way he worked out his theology. You know, Cardinal Eck came to Wittenberg selling indulgences, and Luther went back to his room and wrote down 95 things that were not right about it. Yeah, and Luther himself, he had a student called Melanchthon. He said, I'm not a systematic theologian. I'm not a fixed planet. I'm a movable star. I'm not a fixed planet. He said, I just don't do systematic theology. He said, thank God we have the Bible and we have Melanchthon. Melanchthon was his student who wrote a systematic theology. Nobody reads Melanchthon anymore, but everybody reads, a lot of people read Luther. Okay, so, and up until the 19th century, many people were saying Luther's theology, there's no systematic theology in Luther. And the reason is, systematic theology. Who went to seminary here? Okay. Fuller Seminary. Systematic theology. And you had that. I had that in seminary too. Yeah, systematic theology. Did you have systematic theology? Okay. Systematic theology, that goes way back to Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century. Okay. Thomas Aquinas is still, even today, the standard Roman Catholic theology, okay, and it goes back to Thomas Aquinas, and then, you know, their systematic theology starts with the doctrine of God. Many doctrines, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of creation, the doctrine of man, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of history. And you get up into the New Testament, the doctrine of Christ, Christology, the doctrine of salvation, soteriology, there's the gospel, the doctrine of pneumatology, the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of sanctification, the doctrine of the church, ecclesiology, all of these ologies, you know. Put people to sleep. Okay, you get to the very end. The doctrine of eschatology, the doctrine of the end of history. Okay, and all of these. This is systematic theology. All 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, now the problem with some systematic theologies, Calvin, for example, Wesley, some of these others. They at most the you know I don't know who is the author of Baptist theology, but maybe Menno Simons. They all have the doctrine of justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. They all have this, so it's not a matter of that evangelical theology has justification by grace through faith in Christ and the others don't. There are many theologies have that. Okay, but some people say, well, Luther's theology, this one was bigger than all the other doctrines. Yeah. And that's maybe true, but that's not true. Luther had a very, I've forgotten who first discovered this. Luther's theology, if you understand Luther's theology, evangelical theology, the first evangelical, you have to just forget all about this kind of a system. Luther developed a new system in which the doctrine of justification by grace through faith in Jesus was the center, and every other topic revolved around this center. And his point was, you understand every topic from the topic of the gospel. That's what evangelical theology is. You understand the doctrine of God through the gospel. You understand the doctrine of creation from the gospel. You understand the doctrine of sin from the gospel. You understand the doctrine of Christ, of course. You understand the doctrine of sanctification of the church, the Holy Spirit. Everything from the starting point of the gospel. Now that's, and actually, any systematic theology, you can look at it this way too. Roman Catholic theology in the 16th century, also you could look at it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, but you could also look at it this way. But instead of the doctrine of the gospel, Roman Catholic theology was what? What was the center of all Roman Catholic theology in the 16th century? The doctrine of the church. The church, ecclesiology. There's no church but the Roman Catholic Church. And if you're not in it, it's just too bad. You're just out of it, okay? Outside the church, there's no salvation. Okay, but outside the Roman Catholic Church. And so it was the doctrine of the church. I don't know, how could I say this? The doctrine of the church, or can I say the doctrine of the doctrine of the church. Okay? I'm not a very good artist. Okay? Everything, you know, everything is understood in terms of the gospel is understood in terms of the doctrine of the church. This is the gospel. You understand that in terms of the doctrine of the church. So the gospel is, if you cooperate with the Pope and the bishops and the priest and do what they tell you to do, you'll be saved. Okay, now there's quite a difference. If you understand the doctrine of the church from the doctrine of the gospel, it's quite a different thing. Okay, that's very interesting. It's not just 16th century Roman Catholic theology that start with the doctrine of the church. There are some groups even now, not just Roman, the Roman Catholic Church, still, that's their basic theology now. Okay, but there are other groups too. Have you ever heard of the Zhihuisuo? Okay, Zhihuisuo in Taiwan is called the Assembly Hall or the Little Flock. The English speakers call it Watchman Nee, Ni Toshang, Di Xiong. You know, his theology is all centered in the doctrine of the church. It's very interesting. There's another group the Huisuo in Taiwan has really moved forward a lot in recent years. They acknowledge that there are other churches. When I was in seminary, I had a friend from Taiwan. I had been in Taiwan before. I had a friend from Taiwan who got married, and he asked me to be in his wedding, and I got to talk to some of the brothers who were in the wedding. He had a friend who who was a Christian in Taiwan. I said, "What church did you belong to in Taiwan?" He said, I just belong to the Taipei Church." And I said, "Yeah, but what church? Which one? You know, Zhenli Tang or Lingliang Tang or Xinyo Tang or what church?" "Yeah, well, just the Taipei Church." It's like he didn't know there was any other church than the Taipei Church. And then I understood he was from Huisuo. There's only one church in Taipei. That is the Taipei Church. Taipei Jiahui is Jilutu Jihuisuo. Okay? But now, in recent years, they've changed. They really have changed. They see us as brothers and sisters. But there is a group in Taiwan called the True Jesus Church. Have you heard of them? Zhen Yesu Jiahui. The True Jesus Church. They are the only church. You know, I was doing some therapy with a brother. He was not a Christian at the time. Later on, he became a Christian. He had clinical depression. I was working so hard with him to get out of this clinical depression, and I took him to see a doctor in a hospital. And the doctor, he was a psychiatrist, to see about medication. And the psychiatrist said, "Well, I know what can really solve your problem for you, but I can't tell you. This was a public hospital. I can't tell you about it," but he gave him a tract. And I thought, "Oh, this is wonderful. This guy's a Christian." And and he took his tract home, and I looked at the tract, I read it, and the more I read it, I was like Martin Luther, something butui ching, you know. The more I read it, you know, the most important thing in life, we would say the most important in life thing in life is to know God. And you know God through Jesus Christ. This tract said the most important thing in life, the most important question is, 不要走错教会. Don't go to the wrong church. And the wrong church is any church other than the true Jesus church. Okay, so you see, there are still groups whose the center of all their theology is the doctrine of the church. And you understand the gospel from the doctrine of the church. Well, that goes way back to 16th century, earlier than that, 13th century Roman Catholic theology. Okay, there's other groups, every theology has something in the middle. Reformed theology, Calvin, John Calvin, is a very good theology. It has a four-fourths gospel, 100% gospel, but the center of Reformed theology is what? Anybody know? Reformed Calvin's theology? Huh? The sovereignty of God. Fuller Theological Seminary. Well, no, not that. They're not quite so rigid. But the will of God, the sovereignty of God. Okay, how can I? The sovereignty of God. 上帝的主权. I don't know how that. I can't write Chinese characters very well. And you probably can't either very well. The sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. Okay. If you understand the gospel from the sovereignty of God, it's a little different from understanding the sovereignty of God from the perspective of the gospel. Right? When you get into certain difficult questions like predestination. Calvin's predestination was God's sovereignty. So he has chosen who will go to heaven, and so he has chosen who will go to hell. And Luther, you know, that because God is sovereign. Now, Luther, from the perspective of the gospel, okay, yeah, to understand the sovereignty of God, it's a little different. We who are Christians are chosen by God. But God does not want anybody to be lost. Those are both in the Bible. And from the perspective of the gospel, we just say that's philosophical, logical problems. We just kind of leave them there. We don't try to solve them, but they're both true. Okay, from the sovereignty of God, whoever goes to hell, God chose that person to go to hell, and that's too bad. And just grin and bear it. Don't argue. Okay. The kingdom theology. Our former president at China Evangelical Seminary, Lin Daoliang, I don't know if anybody remembers him, but he was all about Guodu. The kingdom of God. Okay, actually, Fuller Seminary had a professor, George Allen Ladd. The kingdom, you know, the kingdom of God is the central concept of kingdom theology. Okay, so from the kingdom of God, I'm just doing abbreviations. The kingdom of God to understand the gospel. Did you see that? Kingdom of God to understand the gospel. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm standing in front of the blackboard. Okay, that's a bit different from understanding the kingdom of God from the viewpoint of the gospel. It's a bit different, right? Now, Luther said the gospel is from which we understand all of theology and all of the Bible. all of the Bible, and that's very important because, you know, people say, well, we don't have any theology. We just read the Bible, you know. Let me go back to what is theology, okay? Let me go back to the question. How do you feel about theology? I asked Wayne, how did you feel about, this is very deep and very difficult and going to be very hard, you know. In the Chinese churches, I have discovered there's several different attitudes towards theology. One time I went to a, you know, I get the opportunity to go to many, many different Chinese churches, all kinds of Chinese churches, very fundamentalist, very charismatic, very, I taught in a Chinese church in New York, and their background was Zhihuishuo. You know, they didn't call the pastor, they didn't call him pastor, they didn't call him elder, they called him brother. Brother, Dixiong. They were very Huishuo. Their culture was very Zhihuishuo. And this guy had a friend in Boston. And I'd been teaching these classes in Boston, in a big Chinese church in Boston. And this friend of his introduced me and told him what I was teaching about theology and so forth. And so he called me, could you come and teach evangelical theology in my church, but don't use the word theology. He said, our church doesn't like theology. They're very prejudiced against theology. Theology is all from the devil, okay? And so that's fine. I said, okay, I will come and I'll teach a class. I thought for a while and then I sent him an email. I'll teach a class on 以基督为中心的释经法, the Christ-centered interpretation of the Bible. And he said, oh, that's great. And I taught this class, evangelical theology. And by the third day, I told them, I said, you know, I'm just teaching you theology. And they said, that's okay, that's fine, you know. So, but some Chinese churches are very against theology. Some Chinese churches just love theology. Oh, man, you know. And, you know, to that church I said, don't be afraid of theology. Theology is good, it's important, it's a way of understanding the Bible, of understanding God. Some other Chinese churches I said, don't love theology too much. You know, some Chinese churches, oh, they just love to memorize a whole body of knowledge and scholarship and all this. And their small group Bible studies are all just theology. And it's kind of a philosophy of religion. And I said, so I tell them, don't fall in love with theology too much. It's just a tool. It's just a tool. And everybody has a theology, whether you admit it or not, but it's only a tool for reading the Bible. And this goes, well, tomorrow we're going to talk about the way Jesus told people to read the Bible, and that's what Martin Luther got a hold of that. Okay, now, any theology has something in the middle. Evangelical theology has the gospel in the middle. Okay, you understand the kingdom of God from the gospel. You don't understand the gospel from the kingdom of God. Okay, charismatic theology. What is the center of for charismatic theology? Huh? The doctrine of the Holy Spirit, right? Pneumatology. Okay, pneumatology. Okay, so the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. This is kind of a Greek abbreviation, from the doctrine of the Holy Spirit to understand the gospel, and that's a little dangerous because from the gospel to understand the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is a bit different. the Holy Spirit, you know, as you know it at Shaming Su Ling Liang Tang, you know that I am very open to the charismatic movement, to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I think it has to be grounded. I think Ji Mu Shi agrees with me. It has to be grounded in good, solid evangelical theology. Otherwise, you can go off in all kinds of crazy directions, and who knows what you're going to get. We'll talk about that a little later. So good evangelical theology. Dispensationalism. Have you heard of dispensationalism? Shidai Zui. Have you heard of that? Dispensationalism. That understanding the whole Bible and all of theology from the doctrine that there are 8 different dispensations, and you have to understand history is divided into these dispensations. And you know, sanctification. There is a church in Taiwan called the Holiness Church. Have you heard of it? Sheng Jiahui. Sheng Jiahui. And all of their theology is from the doctrine of sanctification. Okay? They understand the gospel from the doctrine of sanctification. Now, sanctification is very important, but to understand sanctification from the doctrine, from the gospel, is a lot safer than understanding the gospel from the perspective of the doctrine of sanctification. I ran into a, I won't say where, I ran into a pastor in a Chinese church last fall, whose father was a pastor in the Holiness Church in Taiwan. And oh, this poor guy, he finally broke out of that. But you know, you just look at it, you look at his face and you could see he was so wounded psychologically, just crippled psychologically. And he told me about when he was a little boy, his father was a pastor in the Holiness Church, and he told me how his father, the pastor, and his mother, the pastor's wife, had just crushed him almost to death psychologically. You know, and you know, holiness without the gospel can be a very cruel and a very torturous life. Holiness without the gospel. And his father, how he just abused, I would call it abuse, psychological, even physical abuse, you see. Okay, so, you know, sanctification is important, but sanctification growing from the gospel is very different from some kind of gospel growing from sanctification. Oh, I felt so sorry for him. And he had broken out of this, and he went to Trinity Theological, Evangelical Theological Divinity School in Chicago, and he had gotten free into the gospel, but he was still so wounded, and he knew that, and I knew that. I talked to him, I prayed with him, I prayed for him, but the poor guy from the time he was a little kid, holiness, without holiness nobody will see the Lord. You got to be holy, and oh. Without the gospel, without grace and mercy. Okay, so evangelical theology is not a theology of evangelism. Okay, you see, evangelical theology is understanding everything. All of systematic theology, all of the Bible, all of life from the perspective of the gospel. Now, it's time to rest, isn't it? Are you okay? Are you awake? Okay. I hope I have not bored you. But okay, now we're going to explore this in the next 3 days. Understanding what does it mean to look at everything through the light of the gospel, and understand the Bible, because you know, to say we just read the Bible, but You need to know how to read the Bible. Yeah. Now we're going to get to there, and I believe Martin Luther had it right. I really think Luther had it right. It was not Luther when Luther started. It was just about you don't have to buy indulgences to get your grandmother out of hell. Okay, that was the beginning. But once Luther got started doing this, the more he saw this. You know, this changes everything. This changes everything, and that's when the Pope got very nervous and kicked him out. Luther did not leave the Catholic Church. He got kicked out. The Pope was getting very nervous, and because the Pope could see that if he opened the door for Luther about faith versus works, then everything would be different. And the Pope said, no, we got to get rid of this guy, and they tried to kill him, and he escaped, and that's a different story. But so this is not just about faith versus works. You're going to see in a minute. It just covers such a huge, huge amount of material. Okay, now, I want you to rest. I want you to drink some coffee, or maybe not, just a little coffee, so you don't stay awake tonight. But rest until 9 o'clock, and then we'll go into the next topic, okay?